Time now for an update from The Crude Life with Jason Spies,
the most trusted voice in energy.
Talk of the Town, brought to you by Big Boy. Just get in line. It moves fast. Dakota Pharmacy and Dakota Natural Health Center. We're here to help you stay well. Trademark Realty, Peak Automotive and Service, and Silver Ranch. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm Steve Bigan along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. You can catch Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. We're talking now on the program with Mark J. Lindquist. You might know him best from UND. And if you've been to a UND hockey game, he was a staple at singing the national anthem, knocked it out of the park. Mark, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Hello from Ukraine.
Yeah, so give us a little background. What brings you over to the Ukraine? You've got a military background. You've worked in a lot of different spaces. Why are you now in the Ukraine?
Yeah, so after the full-scale invasion began on February 24th last year, a lot of military veterans came over here to see if they could help in any way. A lot of the veterans came over to fight. I'm not a combat troop, so I just started running logistics and raising money for many humanitarian aid projects and have really, been inspired by the Ukrainian people. I continue to stay over here and will stay over here. This is my new home. And so there's no shortage of people to help over here. So that's why I remain.
How long have you been over there, Mark?
It's been 18 months now. And, the problems are still the same over here. We still need basic supplies because when you stand up a million-man army that started at a 200,000 troop strength last spring, there's an unlimited amount of things that are needed, even basics. You know, I'm delivering boots this week to soldiers. I'm delivering tourniquets yet today. The Western world hasn't figured out how to supply those basic needs. You know, most of the focus is on things like HIMARS and Javelin and Patriot and F-16.
Mark, I do want to mention, in your bio, your background, because you have a very diverse background. You present yourself as a very clean-cut, articulate entertainer that can handle himself like a politician, right? I think you've even been courted to run for office. You're so damn polished, right? But your background, man, you were in the Air Force and you were an actor and you were an extra. So you weren't opposed to, going after your dream and maybe sleeping in a vehicle if need be. So, you've wined and dined with the best of them, but you've also had pork and beans in the alley too, Mark. So talk to me about your perspective. What's going on over there in the Ukraine? Just, what's the reality, man?
And I think, that background that I've brought to this this war over here in Ukraine was beneficial because we walked across the border last March in April, and there was no playbook, no general giving you orders. It was just individual citizens trying to figure out how to help. And so you had to be a problem solver. And you also had to be a networker. You had to work your way across the country to the Donbass, meet Ukrainians face-to-face, and get a feel for them whether you could trust the people you're working with or not. Because, of course, we hear about corruption in Ukraine all the time. And so, I have found that the people that were willing to dive in headfirst, maybe had been in unfamiliar situations before, have found success. And that's why our little organization has brought $7 million worth of aid into the country since last spring. What's going on over here right now? We're staring winter in the face yet again. And we know that the Russians will target infrastructure and electricity. And so people are scrambling for the power supplies and the battery packs to keep their lives going. Because you got to remember, there's still 36 million people in this country, and that economy is struggling to stay on its feet. People are still trying to go to work. And in order to do work, you got to have power these days.
Mark, give us a little bit of an unfiltered view. What we see over in this country quite often is there's a narrative involved. There's a perspective that is trying to be purveyed. What's the day-to-day life for those that are over in some of those battle zones? And then, it's a big country, the other side of the country, not facing the direct danger of an attack every day. What's the mood in the country like, right, from the front lines to, okay, people trying to get along with their day-to-day life and trying to keep an economy going and trying to keep regular functions, you know, the infrastructure going?
Yeah, I'll talk about the soldiers first and civilians second. Soldiers, let's be honest, you know, 18 months of trench warfare is exhausting, to say the very least. You know, there's not an endless stream of Ukrainians ready to fight or equipped to fight. Most of the people they called up last spring were working desk jobs in the capital city, working for tech companies, security jobs, random civilian jobs. These were not career soldiers. And so now they've been trying to adapt against the second largest army on earth for 18 months, and they're tired. Nobody is afraid to say that after, you know, such a long battle. And it's an artillery war. I mean, all the black and white movies that we've seen from World War II, that's in living color today. And so the soldiers are tired, and we need to continue to support them with any bit of morale that we can give them, even if it's not direct aid. Even when I show up on the Donbass being an American to sing a song or give a smile, it matters. The civilians, they're tired. Imagine if you had a 9/11 every day for the last 18 months. Imagine if you went through 18 months of your friends dying, horrible battlefield reports, and daily air raids from the sky where you don't know where the missile will land. That takes a psychological toll that I'm living amongst them and a part of it as well. And it's tiring, my friends.
Mark, one of the questions I have for you is the last time we spoke right here on Super Talk 1270 and the Crude Life was, you mentioned that this was the first Instagram war, that a lot of the people had taken to social media, to where that was kind of the colloquial term, was it's the first Instagram war. Kind of recap what that is and where are we at today with the world of social media and warfare?
When you think about, you know, if you're an 18-year-old soldier that joins the U.S. military or any military on earth, including the Ukrainian army, you know, you grew up with a smartphone in your hand, and everything you do, you know how the world works today. Everything a young person does today, they post it on Instagram or some form of social media. And when you move out to the trench with your cell phone, you also do the same. And so guys are capturing, you know, high quality 4D or, you know, HD video from their phone. And so this society is using social media to tell the story in a way that is 100 times more effective than when we saw, you know, embedded reporters on tanks roaming into Baghdad 20 years ago. You know, we were wowed by that. And now every soldier's got a cell phone out there. Of course, the frontline guys, they try to keep cell phones out of their hands because they don't want to get targeted. But what you're seeing over here is the total transformation of the coverage of warfare, not by accredited journalists, but now from the average soldier in the trench. You know, you don't have to have a guy with a press pass out there capturing the footage. It's the average soldier with a GoPro. And that's just scratching the surface. When we talk about the advancements of technologies in today's modern war, it's a drone war over here as well. When I was in the military 13, 14 years ago, we used to think about, you know, the Boston Dynamics robot fighting warfare for us. But that is really being done from the sky in drones. You know, because we always say, if a drone can fight the battle for you, if a machine can do it, why would you send someone with a heartbeat and risk their lives? So there's a lack of drones over here, and I'm doing the best I can to seek out the drone hardware and components around the world so these guys have what they need to fight the war.
We're talking to Mark Lindquist, former UND aficionado, all things UND. You might have seen him singing at a hockey game one time. Voice of an angel. That's all I got to say. Mark, got a couple more questions. Can we hold you over the break?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
All right. We're talking with Mark Lindquist along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Talk of the Town. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm Steve Bach along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. You can catch Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270 and on social media. We're talking with Mark Lindquist, former UND guy and former military veteran. He is in the Ukraine working on some different fundraising logistics. I want to talk about your organization and what you're trying to do over there in just a few minutes. But I want to come back to the logistics side because you're working a lot of logistics stuff. You mentioned, you know, people have this thought of corruption in the Ukraine and over in that part of the world. Logistically, are people getting the right supplies that they need? Are the civilians getting the civilian supplies they need? Are the military getting the military supplies they need? And how do you work around some of the corruption that might be out there? Fill us in on that, because I think that's a fascinating story.
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as the supply in the military and the civilian side, it's just for if you're not getting the supplies you need, largely my assessment is that there simply isn't enough supply that exists. You know, the Western world hasn't sent enough, quite frankly. You know, you hear the numbers in the news of the multi-million-dollar packages or billion-dollar packages, but it takes a long time to move supplies around the world, and B, I don't think people realize that this economy is going through a Great Depression-style contraction. Ukraine's economy last year was 7 to 10% worse than our Great Depression. So imagine how much is needed. On top of that, you moved 8 million people from different parts of Ukraine to a place where they didn't have a home. You know, so they had to start over. You moved 8 million people out of the country. And so it's just a massive amount of supply that's needed. And then also, like I said earlier, building a million-man army from scratch, there just isn't enough. There's no such thing as too much when it comes to supplying tourniquets, boots, camouflage, and the basics for a soldier. Logistics, from the corruption side of things, I've always been of the opinion with whatever aid I get my hands on, I'm going to give it to the guy that I've met. I've got his cell phone number, and I know where to meet him directly to hand it off. It's just like, you know, I think Ukraine does get a bad rap for the corruption. Imagine if you gave the United States government stuff that you wanted to get to an individual person who needed it. You know how fast that would get lost and you'd never see it again? It's the same with any form of government that exists on planet Earth. Just give it directly to the person who needs it, and that is the best way I've seen to do it, is hand it off person to person. And sometimes that takes traveling out to the Donbass to places where missiles and bombs drop, but that's what the veterans over here are doing.
That's how a lot of ways they're doing it in Maui. You know, the Rock and Oprah came out and tried to have a foundation. It kind of backfired, and a lot of locals were saying, give it directly to the people, give it directly to the people. And that's really what you're talking about. Do you have a way that people can do that? Do you kind of have a central funnel and then they can choose, or do you have a group behind it? Talk to me about how people can give directly to the people.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm a one man show because I used to work with a team of 20 volunteers from the Western world, but they all had to go back home. They had to go back to work. They had to go back to their families. I'm a single guy, never married, no kids, so I stayed out here and remained on the mission. I had to start a 501c3 nonprofit, the A-Team Ukraine, and stood that up last summer as a way for people to funnel their donations to it. But mostly, these days, the supply chain is caught up to where I just buy the stuff locally. You know, we've got wholesale relationships. We've got places we can get most of the gear the guys need. And we either get it in Ukraine or on the European continent, because it's just inefficient to bring stuff from America these days, especially since we can get it on this continent. And so these days, when someone donates $20, I go out and buy a locally sourced tourniquet and give it right to the guy that needs it, or send it to their post office box, and they pick it up and send me a picture. And so we've done our best to avoid big NGOs. You know, if you donate to the International Red Cross or UNICEF or the UN, you might as well burn the money. It's the little guys out here on the front lines that are doing the biggest impact. That's what I see.
All right, Mark, I got one idea before I hand off the baton to Steve, because I'm taking a look. We got about 3 minutes left here. So if this is like the first Instagram war, so that means social media is a big thing. And, you know, a lot of people use, you know, Substack or OnlyFans or other places, you know, that they can generate dollars. Have you thought about bringing your music career to social media to take donations so that you can sing? Because Steve calls you a UND, blah, blah, blah. But dude, you've opened up Thursday Night Football. You sang for the president.
Yeah.
You've sang, you know, you've been on Lost, you know, Battleship, Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah.
Have you thought about doing a, you know, Instagram concert, you know, fundraiser, Jerry Lee Lewis telethon meets, you know, some karaoke or something? I don't know. Just.
You know, I have thought about those things. You know, you try to use the talents that you do have that might be able to capture people's attention. I think it is something that I got to work on. I did a live concert in a bunker in Kharkiv last summer when people needed a little morale boost. We did a Sinatra big band concert in a bunker. And so maybe
I think,
maybe
I think honestly, you should do it only. You should do an OnlyFans page with music. Everybody's going to think it's all, you'll probably get international attention. And you know what? I'm telling you, I know a lot of people making a lot of money on OnlyFans, and none are men. So you might do it, man.
Jason's encouraged me to sell pictures of my feet on OnlyFans.
Mark, it's been a pleasure. If people want to get a hold of you, how do they do so?
Just Google Mark J. Lindquist in Ukraine, and you can go to my website, markjlindquist.com. Our nonprofit is linked there. And like I said, you know, $20 here and there helps, because I can go get a tourniquet that'll save a guy's life over here.
Perfect. Mark, always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you so much, guys.
Mark Lindquist, along with Jason Spies. I'm Steve Bach, and this is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.